The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Perry. Episode 9, Sunset Boulevard.
Welcome back to the OG Kings. Original Kings of Podcasting. Todd Perry here with Mark Chambers.
Hello, hello.
And something happened a while back in between doing the old radio show that Mark and I used to do.
Yes.
And in between the previous project we discussed.
Correct, correct.
So somewhere between, I think the radio show ended in mid-2007.
Yes.
And then we picked up with the previous project in, I think, 2009.
Yeah, that like sounds about right.
April-ish.
So somewhere in there, we didn't see each other that often.
Yeah.
But we...
We did see each other, and we lamented. Yeah, I would call you over to come to my, come out for a drink or whatever. We would lament the loss of...
Yes.
We the would, show, we and would what go, could have happened.
We would go do the Long Beach circuit.
Yes.
We would eat face meat.
Yes. One of my favorite stories from that time was... I was living in this apartment on 4th Street in Long Beach, and I was saying, Long Beach gets a really bad rep from people, because they, Long Beach is the ghetto, Long Beach, blah, 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 blah. And Mark was down, and we had a great night in downtown Long Beach.
We did.
We went to a concert, or we went to go see a Queen cover band.
Yes.
And we had a great night, and we're driving from downtown to my apartment on 4th Street, and I remember I was sitting with Mark going, Long Beach gets a really bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a stoplight. A friend of ours was driving. And the moment we stopped the stoplight, we were in front of a 7-Eleven. And some guy was on the ground and two guys were kicking him. Just kicking him in the head.
Just getting his ass beat.
Some guys,
I mean, it was just brutal. And we were just front row seats. And it's just, Long Beach gets a bad rep. The kind of thing you're seeing right now, not happening that often.
Not typical.
Yeah. It's a good example of something that isn't typical.
I believed I said he probably deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know the story. So I knew from that hint that Todd might be into some shady stuff.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, I wanted to move to the Midwest after I saw that.
Yeah.
Not back up to the city where I felt safe. I no longer felt safe on the West Coast at that point. Just for like a few hours. And then I got over it.
And then I took you to a nice taco place and we had some face meat.
I realized that in order to eat face, I would not be able to feel my own face. Like those are that has to be the way that lines up. If I'm so drunk I cannot feel my own face, then I can eat another creature's face.
Yeah, we went to a taco stand I love in the hood in Long Beach, and I was like, Mark, you need to get drunk and eat face meat. And you were like, this shit is good.
Yeah.
Little cabeza.
Never had it again.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful rite of passage for me, and that was the blossoming of what became a very fruitful friendship that would last many, many a year.
Yeah. And I believe that, and then I probably brought you back to my apartment and played whale videos for you.
You most certainly did.
Yes. Because I'm a whack job that sits and watches old footage from marine parks of performing whales.
Yes.
And left to my own designs, we'll sit and watch that all night and have drinks.
Marine videos that from marine parks that no longer exist.
Yes, marine land.
Marine
specifically,
land,
yeah.
From Southern California, home of the original Kings of Podcasting.
Yes.
So in this beautiful era where Todd and I would just have random encounters and go out and not have this delightful interaction. One morning, I believe, I received a call.
Yes. Now, this call happened in the context of what was like, I'm the kind of person where I have to constantly be creating stuff.
Yes.
Like, from the radio show we did up until 2009, at a year and a half where I wasn't real, my band wasn't doing anything.
Right.
I was in this process where I wasn't doing anything creative, and it made me fucking nuts. And my wife told me, she's like, you are losing your mind because you're not doing anything creative right now.
Sure.
And I've always, my whole life, whether I've been in a band, whether I've been doing rap music, whether I've been doing working at KLSX, mm-hmm. I was out of KLSX at this point. So I was kind of in this fallow period where I would just sit every night and drink a bottle of wine and smoke cigarettes and think, I got to be doing something.
Right.
Right. So I was kind of in this self-destructive mode, you know, and I hadn't moved in with my wife yet. And I was living out at this apartment in Long Beach. And yeah,
it was quite the place.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a place of debauchery.
Yes.
So it was one night, I get a call from a buddy. And I'm you know, down in Long Beach. And my buddy goes, you know, a friend of ours is in town
mm-hmm.
from Vegas. And
never a good way to start a conversation.
No.
No.
Now, the guy in Vegas, he has a weird life because whenever people come to see him, it's people going to Vegas.
Right.
And so they want to drag him into everything and go. So whenever I go to Vegas and see this guy, I'd be like, oh, let's go to this casino, the strip club, whatever. And he'd be like, fucking, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I want to go to my local and hang out.
Yeah.
So, my buddy's in town, so I go, okay, great. And I had been drinking a little bit in the afternoon at my now wife's place down in Huntington Beach.
Sure.
So,
good place to hang.
Now, I got to be honest, in this period of time, I was dealing with a little bit of an issue when it comes to substance abuse.
Yes.
Which has since been cured, and I'm good to go.
You're a good guy.
Thank you. Thank you,
solid Mark. Family man.
Yes.
Two dogs and a turtle.
Two tortoises.
Two tortoises.
No. And but in back in, you know, late 2007, things were getting a little wild.
Yep. Sketchy. But a naive young Mark, unaware. Mm-hmm. Limited interactions, unaware of what's going on.
Yeah. And you know, shortly after that, got professional help and took care of that. But so I'm in Huntington Beach, and some my buddy says, come out to Santa Monica, which for those of you who are unfamiliar, it's about 45 minutes away. And so, you know, I had some drinks in me, and I thought, you know, it would be a good thing to do. See my dealer.
Yeah, there so it
I
was is.
Like, what if I just happened to procure about, you know, just $50, $60 with a blow?
Yeah.
Just to have a good night.
Now, $50, so again, for the uninitiated listener,
yeah.
What's $50? Say I come to you and you're my dealer,
yeah.
And I've got $50.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm looking to have a blank time, yeah. $50 worth, and the drug I'm choosing is cocaine.
Yes.
What kind of a time am I going to have?
Well, if you were talking to my dealer at the time, Cookie.
Mm. Ah, Cookie. I remember Cookie.
Yeah. And Cookie showed up one time when we were at a strip club.
Yes, she did.
So, and Cookie was a African-American woman with a cock eye,
mm-hmm.
big teeth, and she had a short haircut that was dyed white like Eminem. And she would say shit like, get your ass out of this strip bar right now. Quit looking them naked booties and come out and see me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Cookie. And Cookie would always say to me after I called her, call me on Tuesday now, baby. It's my birthday. I never knew what that meant.
It's a catchphrase.
She's
like a sitcom character.
I thought maybe that's when she gets her deliveries. I don't know, but she kept having birthdays.
It's snowing on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I'd always be like texting her, happy birthday, Cookie. Like seven times a year.
She like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Never responded to texts, though.
Ah, well, as dealers are wont to do, they ignore the texts.
So Cookie at the time used to show up to places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could call Cookie anywhere. I'd be like, you know, to sound like the Californians, it'd be like, I'm in Redondo Beach right now. All right, baby, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
She sounded like Tracy Morgan. Yeah. And she would just show up wherever within 20 minutes. She was just always there.
Yeah, she's around.
This time, Cookie, I don't know, there's some problem with her car. And so on the way to Santa Monica, she goes, stop by my place, baby. Now, Cookie lived on
Oh, good God.
Which is basically like, to the
other... Yeah, paint the radio picture for people.
The radio picture. Now, that's like basically, there's an area where...
Yeah.
Right on the line, right? So, and it's a...
It's not a great neighborhood.
It's not a
If you still need more, first of all, just Google those words together.
Yeah.
And second, just not a great area.
Like, every business there is called... blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, but this was a summer day. So I had on flip-flops,
mm-hmm.
shorts,
mm-hmm.
nice shorts,
yeah.
and a kind of like a plaid.
See, we're looking good and smelling nice.
I was looking beachy.
Yes.
Basically. So I drive to Cookies, and I tell Cookie, just give me $50 worth, which is probably $50 worth is going to get you about 6 or 7 nice fat lines.
Okay.
That'll keep you up till 7 in the morning.
You're not sharing. I don't know how cocaine works.
Yeah.
Do you share cocaine with your friends?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Okay.
But this crowd was not the share it crowd. It was the keep it cool, keep it quiet crowd.
Okay.
Not into it. So I stop by at a Cookie's place and I get out of my car and then Cookie comes out and she's got a fanny pack.
Yes.
And she always kept her shit in a fanny pack.
Yeah.
And I got out of the car on... And I'm looking like I just stepped off of the beach in Redondo.
Sure.
Like
sure.
Hey, you know,
how are you wearing a linen anything or?
Oh, my shirt was very linen.
Oh, plaid. Yes.
Yeah, and I walked
love it.
And I turned to Cookie and I was like, don't see a lot of guys like me around this neighborhood. She's like, oh, baby. And Cookie, you know, dropped me off some
but
shit.
Were you safe because you were a customer? Like, you're totally safe in that neighborhood.
Everyone
kind of knows what's up. They're like, oh, he's cool because he's bringing money into the community.
Yeah, I would assume that. And that's what you think as that guy. You're like, hey, you know, everybody knows what's up.
You're like, I'm just doing my deal. I have amnesty. It's like when you go to the DMV to renew your expired license and you can't get it done. They're not going to arrest you as you leave for driving on an expired license.
Exactly.
They're not going to grab you as you leave this neighborhood or fuck with you because you just brought $50 into their community.
That's Cookie's homie.
Yeah.
He's cool with Cookie.
Yeah, yeah. Look, he just... Yeah.
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 Sign it off.
I love that.
Yeah. And so
I love pretending that's how that works.
But no, I'm assuming that on a bad night, I could get my ass handed to me, you know. And so I look like I just walked out of a foot concert.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, you're a
Yeah.
You're a fiending for coke.
Yeah. So Cookie's like, all right, baby. And then she hooks me up. She's like, well, could you take me over to the liquor store?
What?
And so
get in, baby.
Yeah, Cookie wanted to get a drink.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I take Cookie up to the corner liquor store and I'm driving around. Cookie walks in and now I have that weird thing where I'm like, I'm in the hood.
Yeah.
I know Cookie's probably holding hundreds of dollars worth of drugs on her.
Yeah.
And she's in my car
and
you
I'm gotta like, keep Cookie safe. This is like a video game mission.
I got to keep her safe.
Protect Cookie. Get Cookie to the drugstore.
But also, like, if the cops see me driving around in my Volkswagen with Cookie.
Yeah, they know.
They're going to be a little suspicious.
They know what you're doing.
They know what's happening. But they do. Here's what they do know. Giving a nice woman a ride over to the liquor store.
Mm.
So Cookie goes in and gets herself some a beverage, an adult beverage to enjoy for the night.
Sure.
And then I drop her off and she always says, all right, be safe, baby.
Yeah.
And I was like, good time.
She needs you to be happy and safe and continuing to be a customer.
Yeah. And I'm now I'm off to Santa Monica.
Yeah, there it goes. So you've got quite the journey this night.
From like to Santa Monica on a Saturday night.
This is a very Los Angeles story.
Yeah.
You traverse great distances and think nothing of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. That's like that's a really far drive.
Long Beach to to Santa Monica.
Long Beach to alone would knock the wind out of someone from a different metropolitan area.
Yeah. They go. You know.
Yeah. And you're doing that just to get your coke. Haven't even started the night.
I'm just trying to get high.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to hang out with my buddy.
Yeah.
Know? And I needed to do that.
Yeah.
To hang out with my buddy. So I go out to this bar in Santa Monica, which is like in the ass end of Santa Monica, as Santa Monica goes towards the hills.
Yeah.
So it's like you have Santa Monica and then it becomes Malibu mm-hmm. and all that shit. So mm-hmm. it's the ass end of Santa Monica.
Sure.
and I'm not that familiar with that part of town, which plays into the story. Mm-hmm. So I show up there, I say hi to everybody, I grab a beer. Now, I don't want to drive drunk.
No, who would?
So I only want to have like two or three beers that night because I got to get back to Long Beach.
Right. That's, I mean, you're looking at an hour plus.
And being a responsible guy. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at a 45-minute drive home at the, you know.
Oh, at that time of night, yeah.
That time of night.
Yeah, under an hour, yeah.
How did you get here? Well, I took the 405. Why'd you stop off? Well,
you know. Don't worry about that.
So I'm going into the bathroom. And now in the bathroom is a great thing is on top of the toilet roll holder, there's that little metal holder for the toilet.
Yeah, that's the Coke line.
That's the Coke. So I'm like bumping into the bathroom and like doing some lines.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Had a couple beers, talked to my friends. They're like, Todd's very energetic tonight. He's enjoying himself, but I'm not out of bounds. I'm acting like a wild man.
Having a good time.
Just having a good time on a Saturday night with my friends in Santa Monica.
You're young.
Yeah, why not? So about 12:30, I think, I don't want to get a DUI.
Right.
I'm not going to have any more drinks.
There you go.
I'm going to be responsible and drive home.
Yeah.
So I get into my Volkswagen, and then I have a little, there's a little pouch near there where I put the Coke in there.
Sure.
And then I lock it.
Yeah.
In case the cops come by. That's just luck. I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
Because I still had like a half a gram left. I still had about $30 worth of blow on me.
Yeah.
That maybe I was going to get home to Long Beach and enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I was going to do it the next day.
Yeah.
I was probably going to do it when I got home.
Probably.
That's how.
Well, you know what? If you have the option of sleeping or not sleeping.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Maybe my roommate's home. Maybe we're going to get weird.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to watch a fish video till 5 a.m.
Maybe I'm going to smoke it.
Whoa.
Maybe I'm going to put it up my ass. I don't know.
No one's sure.
There was a lot of options that night.
The point is, it was worth $30.
Yes, it was $30 worth of Coke. And it's not just the monetary value. It's the, I had to go to the hood to get this.
The cocaine has value, and it has a story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this whole totem in your life.
It really is important to you. It's beautiful.
Let's establish that.
It's a beautiful thing. And I'm feeling good at this point.
You're feeling great.
I'm a little up.
Let's be honest. You're feeling amazing.
I'm feeling like the king of LA.
That's right.
And I'm like, I'm going to get in this car and I'm going to drive home because it's not bad to drive high on Coke because you're just kind of aware. It's like having a lot of coffee, you know?
Sure. For the kids listening.
Yeah. Don't do cocaine.
Don't do cocaine.
So what happens is I'm unfamiliar with this area of Santa Monica. And so I make a couple turns and I don't know where the fuck I am. So I go up to Sunset Boulevard. And Sunset Boulevard runs from the beach all the way into Hollywood, all the way into downtown LA. Main drag. But I have to, I kind of weasel my way around. I go, okay, go up to Hollywood and I'll take the 101 home. Now, this is a Californian's bit.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm just letting it sit there. And so I drive up from the beach area on Santa Monica, which now I'm not making wise decisions.
Right.
You're way overexposed. Yeah.
You should be isolated on the freeway with the sound walls around you and just blasting your way home.
No. And so I'm driving and then I get on Sunset and I'm like, okay, cool, looking for the 405 to get home. And then what I don't realize is that I had no gas in my car. I had money in my wallet, no gas.
There you go.
So I'm driving and then suddenly my car just kicks out. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I look and I'm like, oh shit, I have no gas in my Volkswagen. And my Volkswagen's like an 8-year-old car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in the Pacific Palisades, which the Pacific Palisades is one of the most richest, bougiest neighborhoods in LA. It's like Axl Rose lives in the Pacific Palisades. It's
beautiful, beautiful neighborhood.
Between the beach and Hollywood is... And so I'm in this area, so I just pull off onto some random residential street. And I'm like, oh shit, I have an 8-year-old Volkswagen. This is the kind of neighborhood where they see you park in front of somebody's house and immediately they call the cops.
Right.
And I'm holding.
Yes.
So I did.
Key detail.
I'm holding.
Yes.
So I was like, I need to not be holding and to get gas in my car. Two things.
Yes.
So I go into my car and I fish out my drugs and I looked at the house and it's a corner house and I see some ivy and I go, I will hide my drugs in the ivy.
Oh my God.
Because that's what you do.
Right.
But I eyeballed the ivy to say, It will be right there when I return, because I'm not losing this $30 worth of Coke.
It was really important to you.
It was very. It was my survival.
Right.
So I hide the drugs in the ivy, and I eyeball it. Like, when I come back, I will get the drugs out the ivy. And then I stand out on the corner because I don't want to be around anybody's house, because I don't want them to call the cops on me and them to go, hey, you look a little fucked up.
Yeah.
So a cab just happens to fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, God, manna from heaven.
Yes.
And I had my gas can from my Volkswagen.
Yes.
In my hand.
That you carry.
Yeah. I just had it in the trunk.
Yeah.
So I waved down at the cab and $40 cab ride to Hollywood.
Oh, God.
And once I get to Hollywood, I fill my gas can with gas, which is about enough gas to get me somewhere and, you know,
yeah,
be able to
get you to a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$40 cab ride. And so I think...
No Uber back then.
No. This was a different era.
Yes.
And I think to myself, how do I get back to my car? I don't want to call another cab. You know, I don't want to spend $100 tonight. I'll call a friend.
So there I was.
First thing I do, I pull up my cell phone and I call my friend in the neighborhood, John Salwin.
Ah.
So I call.
John would get this dilemma more so than myself.
Yes, because John and I used to have good times with the, you know.
Todd and John were in the club together.
Yeah.
And I was not part of this club. And when you're not part of the club, you're not aware that you're not part of the club.
Yep. John and I like to get high.
So as a naive boy from the South who came to this big city with, you know, two nickels and a dream, unaware of Coke culture.
Yeah.
And unaware that friends of mine were part of it.
Yeah.
So I learned later. Yeah. Not this night.
Yes.
But I learned later. So it makes sense that you would call John.
So I called John and I was like, John, and he picked up the phone, and he was in an industrial club.
Of course he was.
And it's like, welcome, 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 in the background.
This is our friend John, who is the kind of guy that would be at an industrial club.
Yep.
Yes.
So John's like, hey, man, how's it going? I was like, dude, I'm in Hollywood right now. I had to ditch my car in the Palisades. I need a ride back to it. Don't know exactly where the car is. You know, got kind of high tonight. Could you pick me up? He's like, man, this club isn't letting out for a while, so I'm going to party for a minute. So, you know, call me back in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, all right, can't call John. John's partying. So I was like, Mark's in the Miracle Mile. Mark's about 20 minutes from where I am.
Yeah, I lived on Wilshire Hauser.
Yeah, it's about 1 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I call Mark, and Mark picks up the phone. And
see, I don't recall all the details of this story. I recall you calling me and very vaguely needing a ride.
Yeah.
So in hearing your tale of telling John what was going on, I think to myself, now I struggle to recall the details of this story due to, you know, to paraphrase Star Trek VI, age combined with drink.
Yes.
I struggle.
But also, we never told this story on the podcast once we start doing the old project.
Never.
Because I was a little uneasy about my previous issues.
And I didn't know until many years later what really happened that night, because the call I got was incredibly vague of, you know, and I was alone. I lived in this little studio apartment on Miracle Mile, Wilshire Boulevard in Hauser.
20 minutes east of where we were.
Yes. And it was south and east, if you were up in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And, or west. Well, not from where you were brought to. So then I get this vague call like, hey, come, you know, I'm at this gas station. I ran out of gas.
And at 1 a.m.
I got a cab to the gas station, and I was probably asleep. I
believe you sounded like well asleep. Like, why are you fucking with me? But very nice about it.
I'm
like,
pretty confident, because I've never been a partier.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty confident I was sound asleep. And it's just like, all right, this is a friend. he needs my help, and I'm going to go get him. And all the only context I have is he somehow mysteriously ran out of gas, that wacky Todd, and he got a very expensive cab ride to Hollywood, and now he needs a ride from Hollywood back to his car, which he's not sure where it is, although he's claiming to know exactly where it is on the phone.
Yeah.
And then when I'm like, cool, I will go. I get sort of dressed. I wear my, you know, my, I'm a doing
Mr. Spork shirt.
Yeah, likely. I'm like, yeah, doing some like random t-shirt and baggy jeans and flip flops, my 1 a.m. friend call attire, and I go find you at this gas station.
And I was very excited to see you.
Yes.
Yes.
Almost too excited.
Now, did I seem messed up at all? Did I seem on the level?
You seemed a little up for as early in the morning as it was.
Yeah.
And so you didn't know where the hell you were leading me to. And I had certainly never had the occasion to be in that part of town.
Yeah.
I'd never driven that route because it's a very windy, non-direct route to that side of town.
There's no reason to be in the Palisades unless you live there.
Right.
And this is a, from Hollywood to where I lost my car, mm-hmm, was a big windy kind of
down Sunset,
foresty,
which it goes through like the Holmby Hills and Bel Air, and it's just like, oh, it's right above Beverly Hills. It's just this very windy, super rich, and I'm just like, what the
fuck? You go by UCLA.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are we doing? And you're just like, yeah, keep going. I don't remember the cross street, but I'll know it when I see it.
And I have a tank of gas.
A big, yeah.
Smelling up the car.
It's just reeking of gasoline in my port. Was it my Volvo?
It was your Mazda.
Oh, it was my Mazda. Okay, so it was Mazda times.
You had an old Mazda. Yeah.
Yeah, a 2006 motherfucker.
Okay, two-year-old Mazda. Fair.
And so it's reeking of gasoline. And so flash forward to, we get Todd to where he's trying to be. He finds his car.
No, but wait.
Hmm.
How long did it take to find my car?
For fucking ever.
And because I forgot what street I parked my car on.
Absolutely.
Because I was just trying to get the fuck out of there because I didn't want any cops to be called because it was the kind of neighborhood which they
a lot of going past and turning around and passing it again and turning around and passing it again, and we zeroed in. We had a search pattern going like we were detectives.
It was about about 2 hours, actually. We drove up and down the Pacific Palisades, almost out to Malibu, almost to the beach, and almost all the way back. And that's a 30-minute distance.
It was not great. I was exhausted.
And I was at this moment where I was getting a little crazy. It was the drugs, that kind of drug paranoia mixed with the, I can't find my car.
Yeah.
Did someone tow it? It was in a rich neighborhood. He figured like someone would walk out and go, this car doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
And then it was also that thing where it's like, I'm asking way too much of my friend right now.
It was a lot.
And Mark was trying to be cool. It's that thing where you're like, yo, buddy, this is 2 hours. And we kept driving down every side street. And probably if you were like a cop in the area, it'd be like, this Mazda is driven by 7 times through this neighborhood.
Not a great car. I mean, not a bad car, but like not a car you would see in that neighborhood.
In the Palace. And yeah. I was just like, I think it's the next street. And in my head, I was like, I don't know. I have no idea where my car is.
We finally found it.
Yes.
And so the part, none of this really is burned into my memory. I'm having to really dig deep. And most of this is very vague. Like, I have trouble locking onto how I felt about it. I remember just very generically being like, this is a lot.
Todd's
asking a lot. Yeah. This is a really weird night. But I want to do right by my friend who is in a pickle. You're in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was a very, you know, this is just your average Vlasic pickle.
Yeah.
And then we get to the car and I drop you and I'm like, yeah, you know, get it, put the gas in. And I'm like, I'm like, I want to see you drive away. Like, I want to make sure that everything's running smoothly before I bail on you.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't worry about it.
just go.
Just go. I'm just going to sit here and kind of collect myself. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't just go.
And I put the gas in the car.
You put the gas in the car.
I had that little tube at the end of the gas tank. And I put about a gallon worth of gas.
Yep.
And this was $4.45 gas days.
It was very expensive. And so then I didn't just go. I kind of lingered around and watched you searching desperately for your Coke.
Yes.
Had no idea, but it started to occur to me you might have ditched something in the bushes. Now, my my brain thinks weed.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Because I was young and naive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just like, why isn't he leaving? And then you're just like wandering around, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with this shadiness? And then you were like searching the bushes for apparently what I later learned was your cocaine.
Yes.
Yes.
And I sat there and I was like, can Mark just leave? But there was part of me that was like, there's people that live in the house and I'm going through their bushes.
Yeah.
And my whole thing was trying to avoid the cops. So I'm like, there's that XY axis where like Y is not looking like a complete nut job.
Yes.
X is, I need my coke.
Yeah.
Because after all this shit, I want to get high.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have a nice...
More than ever.
I want to have a nice fat bump.
Yeah.
Drive home and then get home and, you know, who knows? Put it up my butt. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I kept just like looking through the ivy. Like, this ivy looks like the ivy I put the coke under. But yeah, that's next to a lot of ivy. Oh. And I just kept going through.
All the ivy looks the same.
And yeah, it was like, that's got the coke. That's got the coke. There's $30 worth of coke there. And then eventually, I don't know, the hand of God touched my shoulder.
You found it.
I stepped off and said, I'm just going home.
Oh, really?
And I just went home. I never found it.
You never found it. So some, I assume, underage.
Some guy walking his dog one day was like, oh, Lordy.
Oh.
And it's cookie coke. And so it was good coke.
I assume he did the thing, no matter what shape or size it was, where he pulled out a blade and cut the baggie open and yeah, then tasted it off the end of the blade.
Well, he just put it on his gums and was like,
oh, that's some good coke.
That's Hoover and Sentinel, right? Oh.
Yeah, that's some damn good coke. So that is the beautiful story of why, even when you aren't getting the context and you don't quite know what's going on, you should assume good intent and help your friends.
Yes.
Because even if they're falling on hard times now, it's not your place to shut them out or not be there for them. Because yes, one day they will grow into civilized adult men who wear fishermen's hats.
Yes.
And kowtow to their wives in, yes, a good way.
I will let it be known that eventually my egregious use of coke, I talked to a professional,
mm-hmm,
and stopped using cocaine recreationally,
mm,
and just about all in general. So let that be known.
Yeah.
And next time we do this show, I'll tell the story about how I took LSD and then went on air with you in San Diego.
Oh, God.
Drugs nearly ended King Todd Perry's reign. The lesson he learned, stop snorting cocaine. Always check your gas tank and remember one thing. Just say no, say the kings of podcasting.